Just question. Just don't question.
And I'm also sitting here with...
Huh?
Who am I sitting next to? Who's next to me?
Wonderful.
My name's Faith Petrick.
And where are you from?
San Francisco.
And what are you doing here?
Sitting here.
Of course, she does a lot more than that.
What else do you do, Faith?
Oh, I try to sing a little bit. The main thing. What do you do?
Work with youth. So I'm trying to gather some messages for our kids.
Oh, nice.
So what would you like to say to kids in Washington that are...
I'm sure she's got a lot to say to kids.
Surrounded by hip-hop music and commercial radio and...
There's a lot of great hip-hop music. It sure is. A lot of great stuff. Don't make their own music. It isn't like something you buy like a hamburger and consume. It's something you do. Music and poetry and working to make their schools decent, which I don't know how they are here, but I'm sure there's room for improvement. And students can do a lot. Students can do a lot. They revolt and demand decent things and get them. Organize.
What role does music have in music education and organizing?
Well, music in schools is marvelous because they've scientifically proved that music helps your brain develop. And so cutting music out of school is not helping kids get as smart as they could be. Music it gives you, the old song gives you the history. You don't get a history in school, you get a bunch of lies. In the old songs, you get the history of what's happening. The song, what happened to people, this strike, that mining disaster, all of you. That's where you find it, is in the song. But a lot more than that, songs give people strength. That's one thing they do. Singing together draws it something more than the individual. It becomes something that's more than the sum of its parts, you know. And gives you courage. And if they writing their own songs, their experiences, what's happening to them without the Moon June stuff, reality, what's going on in their life? Write this down in songs and in poetry. And it's fulfilling, it's liberating, and helps you grow and be strong. I don't know.
With the organizing, how do you teach a song, and B, how is teaching a song part of music education?
Well, teaching a song is pretty easy because teaching a song is easy because kids are pretty bright, you know, and they learn fast. You see, the chorus, it takes maybe saying it a couple of times, and they know it. And if it's something about something that they're interested in that has meaning in their lives, then they're going to learn it. It doesn't take very long to learn a song. It's easy.
Sing it.
Well, since I was about 3, I would say, so that'd make that 85 years.
And how long have you been singing out on picket lines and protests? And...
Well, singing on them or something. The first picket line I ever walked on was in Seattle, Washington. The Newspaper Guild was picketing Hearst. That was about 1935, 36. It's the first picket line I can remember on. Though a friend of mine and I, in this college I was going to, we organized a peace strike. We got all the students out, had people talk to them. It was called the Veterans of Future Wars.
Wow. And what year was that?
About 1936, 37. Veterans of Future Wars. And, because, you know, they were saying they'd tell the veterans that they'd give them an education. Well, so we said, well, give them an education now, before they go to work. Some are going to get killed, they'll never get the education. But I think singing would have been in the late 30s. The Songs of Spain, I learned those. Then there was the great folk scare, you know, of the 50s and 60s. And I have that kind of memory. It was easy for me to learn songs, so. But I remember singing around parties and things in San Francisco in the 40s, 50s, and then the 60s. Was...
Organizing is difficult work. And often a lot of conflicts occur between people, between groups that can get out of hand or be manipulated by others. How do you deal with conflict and maintain unity and focus?
Well, I'm active with the Folk Music Club in San Francisco and the People's Music Network. We've never had any that I can think of. For one thing, my attitude has been inclusive, not competitive. That all the clubs, all the coffee houses and things, instead of fighting for an audience, that the more there are, the more audience you have. And I don't know, just, I'm not, well, I'm, let's say, I'm not an organizer, and yet in a way, I suppose I was the glue that kind of kept the club together at one time. People just came and sang.
That's a good process. That's a very good process.
Used to have they still come to my house every other Friday. And people come and sing, and there aren't any rules. You sing an old song, you sing a new song. We don't say, that's not a folk song, you know, because people sing it. Somebody wrote a song last night, they want to sing it, they sing it. And
how do you start a song group?
Well, this one was started before I kind of got influential in it. How what you doing? I think it was Charlie King once said, invite them and feed them. But we do have snacks, but we don't have any lot of food at the house. There's a lot of great musicians in the Bay Area, and a tremendous San Francisco Bay Area. Tremendous variety. You've got Irish and French and Cajun, and you name it, there's a group somewhere. An ethnic group doing their own songs, Samoans, whatever. San Francisco is a unique place, really. Even with the changes and all the .com, it's still very progressive, very permissive, and that makes it good, so that people get along.
Yep. Very different from Washington.
Not getting along, maybe I'm just too ignorant to notice it, but by and large, you see any kind of, it's the longest lasting costume party I've ever seen, because people wear anything in San Francisco. I suppose some places women are supposed to dress a certain way, look a certain way. Nobody in San Francisco pays any attention. You see some pretty weird things, but you know, you ignore it because it's just that's all.
And what's your message to young women in music and organizing?
Keep on keeping on. I think I wished I want them to know something of the history. I think it's important to know the history, what it was like. Like I say, when I was born, my mother couldn't vote. And some people now take it for granted, I think some women. They don't realize what's gone into making what they have. And there's so much further to go. Women are still second-class citizens. They're still the glass citizens. You know, I can remember when I was first working in office, it was all the cutie and patting on the fanny. And you did, that was part of the job. You didn't object. Now it just makes me furious. But now they have some rights, they can complain. But there's so far, much further yet to go. Until there's job equality and human equality, equal mutual respect, mutual awareness of the fact that both of your needs are the same.
No matter where you are and what situation.
Yeah. So. I don't have any ringing advice, or perhaps people have to learn their own way from the situation that they're in. What can I do to make this situation better and more fair, more just? And to study it out and get together and work on it. Yeah.